Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Monday morning, homeroom. Oh, if you haven't had your coffee, what are you waiting for? Come on, start the day. Jacob, have you had your Monday morning coffee yet?
Not yet, Tim. I'm still reeling from a crazy weekend.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be putting you on the spot today, though, Jacob, because this is a home room with just me and you, Johnny Lupinacci. You know, hey, people are saying, well, don't go making fun of Johnny for not being there because you weren't there a couple other times. I wasn't going to make fun. I'm just simply pointing out that sometimes, you know, we have other obligations, and Dr. Johnny right now, Jacob, has another obligation that, you know, we're just going to leave it at that. Put it out there, you know.
I heard he was advanced scouting for a potential Finland show.
Hey, so we'll see what happens. What do you think about that? You know, going to just for anybody, homeroom. Yes, coming back. Hey, Johnny and I have always, you know, the Civic Media app, which means you can listen to Busted Pencils, actually any of the Civic Media shows from anywhere. We always point out that, you know, we have a few listeners in Finland on that Civic Media app. And wouldn't it be cool to bust some pencils, you know, like in Helsinki or something like that, Jacob? You know, would you come with us?
They're not sending me to Finland, Tim. I was just teaching an AI to take my job for next week. Yes, I'd go to Finland. I'm finished. Okay.
Are you really? So you're one of those Wisconsin Finnish descendants?
I suppose so, yeah.
I mean, so, long roots in Wisconsin?
Not at all.
Oh,
really? I'm originally from Illinois.
Okay, well, would somebody, I don't know. I just remember when I lived there because, yes, Tim did live in Wisconsin for 9 years.
Did you like it?
Maybe not, you know, some people point out, well, that wasn't Wisconsin. That was Madison. That was, you know, one square mile surrounded by reality. did you ever hear that one, Jacob?
I haven't heard that one, but that's a good one.
You know what?
After I love ignorant there, statements. So that hits on.
It is ignorant, but you know what? I got to say, just a little bit of truth to that.
You know what we say about the weather in Wisconsin, Tim? If you don't like it, you can go back where you came from. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, that's cool. So you were in Madison for 9 years?
I was in Madison for 9 years.
You chose that school? That was your school of choice?
Well, I worked at Edgewood College as the dean of the School of Education when I was there. So cool. Yeah, you know, lived in Verona. Oh. And you know, but yeah, it's, I say I love Wisconsin. And I remember taking some trips. My son went to Northland College, way up there, Jacob, way up on Lake Superior. And doing those drives back and forth, you could see there were these, back to Finland, there were these little kind of, you know, on the side of the road, learn your history type of placards. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, a place where it talked about the Finnish experience in Wisconsin. So that's when you said you were Finnish and you live in Wisconsin. I didn't know you were from Illinois. I was like, are you one of these long, you know, kind of like from the Viking age?
Yeah, I understand the question. There's a large Scandinavian presence in Wisconsin and Minnesota. Right. And there are some people who fell off Leif Erikson's boat who are still here. But
yeah,
I don't happen to be that lucky.
You don't have a battle axe.
Not yet. But when I get married.
Oh, jeez. The future, Mrs. Jacob, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he speaks about.
I don't know.
Hey, so Jacob, you know, a little bit of news. We haven't covered this, and I just wanted to bring people up to speed. You know, we talk a lot about school choice on Busted Pencils, particularly too, because everybody in Wisconsin, you know, really has a deep understanding of school choice because the school choice movement was born in Milwaukee in the 90s. And it came from this point of view that, hey, there were some really awful, horrible urban schools in Wisconsin, and the kids were not getting a great education. And an idea was, is that, well, you know what? What if the state gave those parents and those children the amount of money or some form of amount of money from taxpayers, instead of it going to the failing, that was the word they used, failing public school, those parents and that student could take that state money and go to a school of their choice. So did you know that that started in Milwaukee, Jacob?
I had no idea that the school choice movement originated in Milwaukee.
To be honest with you. Wisconsin is famous.
I would have assumed it was somewhere in the South.
Yeah, no. It's right there. And I mean, for people who are saying, but Tim, the schools were. Hey, Johnny and I have never shied away from pointing out that there are public schools that are doing horrendous jobs. Lots of reasons too for that. We always want to be the ones to make sure that we understand. Are they underfunded? Are the schools actually adequately, you know, structurally sound? Can they, you know, really rise up? And then the populations, you know, if you have concentrations of poverty, and those concentrations of poverty then reflect the student population, is it a failing school that you have? Or is it a failing society that allows families and children to live in poverty? You know, so these are kind of the old conversations that kind of come around this. And so we're public school advocates, and we always, you know, would definitely be in favor of criticizing bad public schools. But when it comes to the concept of public schools, the solution to, if you have, you know, issues such as that, is not to defund your local public school and give money away to families and children to go to the school of their choice. You make it public schools better, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's been a huge conversation around this, you know, so again, now 30 years later, lots of states have kind of gone forward with universal school choice plans, which is in some way, shape, or form, no matter who you are, the whole failing schools thing is gone and out the window. It's now about parents' rights, Jacobs, and all parents, even the parents who are millionaires who have their kids already in exclusive private schools. Why shouldn't the state give them money too, to offset the costs of their private education? And this is where we've moved into. So universal school choice. Some states are a little bit different. The state I'm at in Ohio right now does have some guidelines. There is universal school choice, but it says if you make so much money, you get this amount of state funding. If you make too much, you get a little lesser amount. That's been pointed out. Ohio is on the cutting edge, Jacob, of doing school choice right, at least according to the school choice advocates. But there's been a big blowback. And in fact, you know, talking about this in rural areas to school choice, because two big reasons. Guess what? In rural areas, public schools really are the hearts of those communities right there. People like their public schools rurally. The other thing is one just simply have gone choice for what school? Yeah. You know, you're talking about in rural area. You're going to give me money so I can send my kid to where? And no, you can't do this. And in fact, there have been some states who have been really pushing hard against this, Texas being one, where the rural areas of Texas have fought Governor Greg Abbott strongly about pushing away universal school choice in Texas. However, just this past week, school choice in Texas now is universal. Those people that were fighting hard against it. Well, guess what? You know, we primaried the Republicans in those rural districts with handpicked Greg Abbott acolytes who will, you know, do his bidding. And now guess what? You've got a Republican legislature that doesn't reflect the rural communities of Texas anymore. And they've now voted in favor of this. The reason I bring this up is some people are saying that, Jacob, this is obviously evidence of the school choice movement and a huge win. Huh. You, Jacob, you got a thought there. I can see it. Drop it on me, man.
Well, if I could ask an expert like you for some clarification on this.
Okay.
So to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, in a universal school choice state, are they saying, you know, on average, we spend $5,000 per child in our public education system, and now we're going to say whatever school you go to, instead of just putting into the system $5,000 check,
right,
put that in whatever school. You can put it into your public school if you want to go to the public school. If you want to go to St. Mary's, you can put your $5,000 and then pay the extra yourself. Is that
right,
the gist of it?
That's it, yeah. I mean, that's a really simple way of understanding it. And it's not that the $5,000 in universal school, so you don't get the check and then stay in your local public school. It just doesn't leave.
Yeah.
This is the defunding, though. But for every student that says, I'm leaving, what that money that would have been allocated by the state to that public school follows the student out of the public school, which creates a defunding mechanism for the local public school in this way. So people talk about it that way. But, you know, I look at this and going, is this a victory for school choice? And there's an interesting analysis going on. And the reason I talk about Texas here, and we've talked about this in Kentucky too, where there's a huge push for school choice, but in the rural areas of Kentucky and in the rural areas of Tennessee, Republicans have fought hard against school choice because in those local rural communities, that's their school. And Jacob, here's one other thing. Guess what? Friday night football in rural areas in public schools, that's like a, you know, kind of like a sacred right. And you're talking about the possibility of upsetting and doing away with Friday night football. And in rural Texas, don't be messing with football. Okay.
Yes.
And put that out there, just, you know, whatever it is. But, so here's the kind of reality, though, on the ground about school choice. When you talk about this, overwhelmingly, now, Abbott did something to win school choice. What he didn't do was win the will of the people.
Mm.
He had his will imposed on the people by having their representatives primaried and then kicked out so that he could have his hand picked. Because the polling in Texas is that, especially in the rural areas, overwhelmingly the public didn't want this. And now they are PO'd that this happened. And so there's a question about thinking, going, has what he really done empowered a movement of people to really say, this is crap, we didn't want this, and get ready for the counterattack that Greg Abbott and any other rural places that are thinking about this, you don't really realize that by imposing your will on the people don't really, they don't like that.
People, you know, do not like to have somebody from the state capitol building imposing their will on them, and it seems like Abbott might have overplayed his hand in this situation.
Well, and that's the speculation. So is there going to be a movement? I think so. And in fact, though, too, one of the political tricks that pro-school choice movement in the legislature and the government's mansion or the governor's mansions is that they take away then, on top of that, the ability for the population through referendum to approve school choice, because guess what happens, and Wisconsin has shown this time and time again, when you ask the people to vote in favor of their public schools, they do. So if you want to shut that voice out, Jacob,
yeah,
you outlaw then the people having a right to vote on things they want.
Absolutely. And that seems like a terrible idea to me. And I'm not even the governor of Texas. If I could ask again, because I'm a layman and I'm so new to this debate, Tim, and you're teaching me a lot here today. I'm becoming a more educated non-educator. I can understand that. Let's say you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They bring in school vouchers or school choice. and I decide, okay, I'm going to send my kid out of the school district to a different private school. That takes money out of the district. It hurts our schools. In that rural Texas setting we were talking about, let's say I'm in Midland, Texas. There's only one school. A, there's not really any other options. And B, I'm mostly content with my school already. How so how does this change to the universal school choice? Because I thought we were saying that basically if you don't choose to take your money out to go somewhere else, it doesn't take it out of the school district. So why is rural Texas so inflamed about this specifically? How is this impacting rural Texas?
Because I'll cut you some slack because I kind of fed in there how you can understand how this happens, because universal means people already in private schools can now access state money, which then if you think about it, what happens here then is so I have my kid in, you know, let's say $20,000 a year private Catholic school. And I've been doing that. And now all of a sudden I have access to, let's say, $12,000, right? I'm now not taking my $12,000 from the local public school and taking it and putting it in the Catholic school. The state now is writing me a check for $12,000 to give to that school, that Catholic school, not picking on Catholic schools, but the point. And so think about what that means then is that where's the budget for public schooling? The budget for public schooling is based on enrollment. And so when you talk about, you're great to point this out. If a kid leaves, their money goes with them. Okay. And maybe even can rationalize and go, well, that just makes sense. I get it. You know, and as you ask the question, why is that a problem? Well, it's actually about the universal aspect of saying states haven't budgeted for all of the kids in private schools already to now tap the state for their school choice money. And in fact, in Arizona, we can look at and say, well, how do we know, you know, that's just speculation. No, it's not speculation, because in Arizona, this is what they did. And Jacob, guess what? The education budget in Arizona after the first round of universal school choice was $1.2 billion in the hole. Mm. Why? Because the state now has to pay all of those vouchers to all of those kids who weren't in private schools and all of the kids who left and the regular. And guess what? It drains. And so now you're like, oh, well, so they just have to allocate more money. There's no more money to allocate. And in fact, now what happens, Jacob, and this is what everybody knows, is that, well, to fund then all of this extra, all these other kids who are already in private schools to help their parents continue to do this and not break the budget, you know, we're going to have to not give as much to our local public schools to begin with so that we could keep this budget in line. There's your defunding.
Okay, so that totally makes sense to me, Tim. So the issue when we're hurting these rural communities now, which may have not been hurt so much by that traditional school choice situation, the problem here is not taking the money out of the district. The problem is reducing across the board by increasing the amount of people taking from the school budget while not increasing the budget for education in the state. That totally makes sense to me.
Yep.
I can see why that is something I would be upset about if I was in Midland, Texas.
Yeah, right. Because now what that means in Midland, Texas, is you say you already like your public school. It's probably already underfunded. And you know that the following year, it's going to be underfunded even more. And so that's a direct attack on your local rural public school. So, Jacob, you know, love homeroom, love being here with you. I'm glad that we could, you know, bring people up to speed and even have some time now that, Jacob, you can now be an educated educator who talks school choice education.
I feel very educated, Tim. Thank you very much.
And now for your moment of zen. I would argue that dissent is the highest form of patriotism. In fact, if patriotism means being true to the principles for which your country is supposed to stand, then certainly the right to dissent is one of those principles. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom. Wednesday, classes in session. Friday, hurdles and home runs. Saturday, one full hour across all the Civic Media radio stations, the Civic Media app. And yeah, of course, anybody downloading on podcasts, you always can get that. In fact, if you are one of those people who are downloading podcasts on, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know what would be great? Leave us a review, some comments, because you know what? We want to know what you're thinking about the show. The other part, too, is just put out there. If you want to know more, bustedpencils.com. That's the website. That's where you can find more with Tim and Johnny, blue-collar scholars. And you know what, everybody? Keep busting pencils.